Oh, Father God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that this morning you will open our hearts and minds, that we will learn more of you through your precious word and know more of your love, Lord, that we will be changed by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, Pete and I have recently returned from a holiday with a group of friends. I have to say there were 13 of us and we are all of a certain age. So what that means is that when we go on holiday, between us we come complete with replacement hips and knees, hearing aids, stents, glasses, carefully repaired teeth, a variety of surgery scars, and we probably carry enough prescription drugs to set up a little sub-branch of Boots, the chemist, wherever we go. Now, given that when we first went on holiday together many years ago, we were very much less of a drain on the NHS, it's very easy to look in the mirror and think, my goodness, what on earth has happened to us? But actually, I think we've got far more reason to look in the mirror and think, we are amazing. Because that's the reality. The human body is a daily reminder of the wonder of God's creation. And we particularly are also incredibly blessed to be living in a time when medical knowledge is often able to help when hips wear out or our eyesight deteriorates. But the fact remains that everything about the human body is incredible. Some useless facts to make the point. Apparently, laid end to end, an adult's blood vessels could circle the Earth's equator four times. We are born with 300 bones, which gradually fuse together, so that as an adult, we end up with a skeleton of 206 bones. How clever is that? And for an adult human being to just take one step uses 200 muscles. I didn't even realise I had that many. And whatever our age, and regardless of how well we might be feeling this morning, we do have amazing bodies. And almost certainly our body is capable of more than we think it is. But everything in the body is interconnected. And the impact of one part not working properly has a massive impact on the whole person. Many years ago, a lady I knew lost her thumb in a water skiing accident. And the impact of that was devastating. Because the hand is designed for our fingers and thumb to work together. And so even the simplest tasks had to be relearned. Just take a moment to look at your hands. Apparently, without your little finger, you would lose 50% of your hand strength. Who would have thought your little finger was so important? And I'd like you to bear that in mind as we look at this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Now, this has been judged as Paul's most important letter, and has changed lives through the centuries, including that of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, who was greatly impacted when he heard some of Martin Luther's commentary read aloud at a service in Aldersgate Street in London. And he wrote, he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ. Now at this stage, Paul had not yet visited Rome, but he was aware of the growing tension between Jews and Gentiles, and he's keen to set out clearly how forgiveness is available to all through faith in Christ. And this faith is central to becoming a Christian and living the Christian life. He's quick to point out that new life in Christ isn't an intangible one-off event, but a daily experience. And chapters 1 to 11 focus on what to believe, but this is followed in chapter 12 by clear practical guidance about how to behave. And fundamental in his guidance for the Christian community life is this image of being joined together in one body. And when we look at the picture that he puts together of the body of Christ, it is every bit as amazing as the human body. For a start, there is no hierarchy. When I first went back to the Church of England as a young mum, my perception was that there was very much a hierarchy, and I was definitely at the bottom of it. bit like the old sketch from the David Frost show where the three men stood in a row and the man in the middle said, "Oh, well, I look up to him, but I look down on him." Within the church at that time, there seemed to be three or four what I would call holy families. They'd been at the church for years, they knew all the hymns and protocols, and they were the people who did the readings in church, arranged the flowers, ran the Sunday school, etc. And then there was the vicar. Now, he was definitely top of the tree, and he did all the sermons and prayers. As a newcomer, I felt very much part of the remaining AN others, if you like. Now, in fairness, I'm not sure that either the vicar or the so-called holy families particularly wanted that set up, but the reality was that the vast majority of people in church on a Sunday morning did nothing other than just sit there. But that is most definitely not how we are called to be the body of Christ. We are all called to a living faith. The prophet Joel wrote, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Spiritual gifts are not limited, and they're not something we can buy or earn. They are a gift from God for all his children. We are joined together by faith. And when we live like this, the church becomes an amazing force for good and witness to the world of the love of God. But for this to happen, we really need to examine what this means. For a start, we all have gifts that we can use to bless each other. Sometimes we can look at this text and read, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought," and use this as a prop for false humility and inaction. But C.S. Lewis wrote, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." And when our focus is on those around us and our heart is open to being used by God in whatever way he sees fit, we will not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Also, we are all of equal value. Every person in this church is vital to God's plan for his people in this place. When we look at the human body, we can think that the brain is the vital organ that controls our thinking, our breathing, and every move we make. But if the heart does not pump blood to the brain, it dies. If the heart is pumping blood to the brain, but there is blockage in an artery, the brain dies. Look back at your hand. If the thumb is missing, unscrewing something like a jar of jam will be incredibly difficult, if not impossible. And if it's even the little finger that is missing, then you've lost 50% of your hand's strength. Every part of your hand is there for a purpose. And finally, we are all called to use whatever gifts God has given us to ensure a healthy Christian community. Joel talks of God pouring out his spirit on all people. When we imagine pouring a jug of water into a bucket, we don't usually see a miserly trickle of water, but rather a splashing flow of water. We have a good Father. He is not mean. And he doesn't leave anyone out. The title for this text was Stepping Up in Belonging. And I wonder if this morning you feel that you belong in this church family. There may be some here who feel a bit like I did all those years ago, just an AN other. Well, the word of God is very specific. There are no AN others in his kingdom. And God does not have favourites. There are no holy families. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he wrote that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And he went on to say, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Every family. The definition of belonging is to belong is to matter. And every person who enters this church, whether it's just a one-off visit or week in, week out, matters very much to God. In Isaiah 49, we read, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." I'm very aware that I've often been slow to let people know they are missed when they're not in church. But it is really important that we make sure that people know they matter and make a difference by being here. God has written their name on the palm of his hands too. We are called to live as the body of Christ, and I think this morning we need to look at our response to that calling. It may be that you feel you don't have any gifts, but other people have the gift of prophecy and can speak into people's lives, but not you. Other people are better at teaching or encouraging. But God did not create you to stand on the sidelines and be an onlooker. You are an amazing part of his creation and a vital part of the body of Christ. You may feel that the gifts you have are not the important ones, that what you do does not make a difference. But the human body thrives when everything is working together. And the body of Christ is exactly the same. The other thing about the gifts that God gives us is that they do have to be used. Some years ago, my husband dislocated his shoulder playing football. His arm was strapped up and he was given strict instructions not to move it. When the dressing was removed, we were both shocked to see how much the muscle in his arm had visibly wasted and shriveled just for not being used for a few weeks. It took a little time, but with use, the muscle regained all the strength that it had had. If you know that you are perhaps not using gifts that you have used in the past, it may be that you need to consciously commit to getting back to using that gift, to build up the strength that was there. I've got a lovely book entitled, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat." As we are called to step up in belonging, we may need to be prepared to get out of the boat. We can be so fearful of getting it wrong that we don't do anything and we miss out. When we were on holiday, I was a bit apprehensive about swimming in the sea, as there was a dip in the beach just as you got into the water. And every now and then the waves picked up and it was all a bit choppy. One of my friends encouraged me to join the others and he said, "What's the worst that can possibly happen?" And my response was that, well, I could drown, but I had to admit this was pretty unlikely. My second excuse was that I would be able to get in the sea but then not able to get out and be stuck in the sea forever. Again, pretty unlikely. And then he said, "Or you could go in and have fun." At that point, having run out of excuses, I went in. Now, as it happened, I made a complete hash of getting out of the sea and ended up being knocked over by a wave and face planting on the beach, a bit like a toddler learning to walk. I had gritty sand in my hair, inside and outside my swimsuit, but I didn't come to any harm, and he was right, I had fun. And if that all still sounds a bit scary, you might like this quote I came across. "When you start to feel like you are missing out, remember to whom you belong and remember who you are in Christ. You don't need other people to feel special. You don't need other people to matter. Your worth is in Jesus Christ." Joining in with what God is doing can be scary, but it is exciting. And he is always right beside us. My prayer for us this morning is that not only will we be open to developing and using our gifts to build each other up, but that we will be ready to stand with each other in good times and bad, and be quick to encourage one another as we journey together.